Blog Talk Radio.
Have me and all others who will ever hear this recording to receive. I also want to thank Sister Faith for her diligence in attending to all of the behind-the-scenes things that must be done for this radio blog to take place. To God be the glory for sure. I will be speaking today on the topic of Women on a Mission, subtitled Stepping Up to the Plate. I will be using various scripture texts, and I will be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Since this is the week leading up to Mother's Day here in the United States, I thought to look at some women in scripture as to how they dealt with situations that they were faced with. In other words, how they stepped up to the plate. All throughout scripture, we see many women from many walks of life with a plethora of issues they were facing. We will take a brief look today at some and see how they approached the things they were facing so that we may glean from them in our continual walk. When I think of the subtitle that God gave me for this presentation of Stepping Up to the Plate, I think about the game of baseball as the batter comes up to the plate to bat the ball. The ball is being thrown his or her way, and the batter is out to hit the ball so that he or she might get at least to first base, and someone else batting after them may perhaps get them to second base, third base, and then to home base to score a run. Sometimes the batter will hit a home run, and if bases are loaded, it's what's called a grand slam home run where four runs are added to the score. Sometimes a batter will hit a foul ball, which keeps him or her at the plate going to no base. Sometimes the batter hits the ball, and they either can make it to the base or are tagged out trying. Or if it is a fly ball and someone in the field catches it, then that batter makes it to no base. Then sometimes the batter just strikes out while at the plate, and he or she gets to no base. Now, why do I bring this up? Well, in life, there are challenges that we will face. Sometimes we will feel like all we are doing is striking out or fouling out. Then sometimes we can see accomplishments as we go from base to base and then make it home for the score. A sport like baseball is a team sport. So it is in life. Yes, there will be times when singularly a home run will be had, but in order for a grand slam home run to occur, there will need to be someone on first base, someone on second base, and someone on third base. In life, we will at times have to have all bases occupied, so to speak. Remember that in almost any sport, you will be up against an opponent. In life, our opponent oftentimes is Satan himself with his demons who are all about interrupting us from the things of God. Sometimes our opponents are individual people or groups of people. Oh, yes, we could be our own opponent. How is that, you say? Let's get back to a sports game. If a player does not consistently practice, they will become stale at what they do. Likewise, if we are not into the things of God, such as daily reading his word and having daily private prayer time with him, we too will become stale to the equipping God has for us. Let's look at how some women in scripture fared as they journeyed in the game of life. The first set of women I will discuss here today are the five daughters of a man named Zelophehad. They are Jewish women who we meet in Scripture as they travel in the wilderness under the leadership of Moses. It is near the time for the tribes to finally, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, to begin to make plans to possess the promised land. It is also getting close to the time of Moses' death. He will get to see the land from afar, but he will not be permitted by God to step foot on the land. These five sisters come to Moses with a request. Let's read about their request as recorded in Numbers, the 27th chapter, verses 1 through 11. And it reads like this. Then the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, came near, and these are the names of his daughters, Mahla, Noah, and Hogla, and Milcah, and Tirzah. They stood before Moses, and before Eleazar the priest, and before the leaders and all the congregation at the doorway of the tent of meeting, saying, Our father died in the wilderness, yet he was not among the company of those who gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah. But he died in his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be withdrawn from among his family because he had no sons? Give us a possession among our father's brothers. Moses brought their case before the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad are right in their statement. You shall surely give them a hereditary possession among their father's brothers, and you shall transfer the inheritance of their father to them. Further, you shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if a man dies and has no son, then you shall transfer his inheritance to his daughter. If he has no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his father's brothers. If his father has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his nearest relative in his own family, and he shall possess it. And it shall be a statutory ordinance to the sons of Israel, just as the Lord commanded Moses. So we see from the reading of this passage that these five women had a great concern about fairness as to how inheritance had been done. By their father having no sons, succession of their inheritance of the division of the land would go to his brothers or other males in the family. Notice that when this concern was brought before Moses, his first thought was to go to God about it. He did not say, well, it has always been this way, so nothing is going to change now. But rather, he listened to what they had to say. When Moses brought their situation to God, God told Moses that Zelophehad's daughters were right. At that point, God told Moses how succession of one's possessions would be for the people going forward. These women made a difference, and it was a difference that not only brought fairness to their situation, but also would help other women in a predicament like theirs moving forward. So when something doesn't seem right, it is okay to bring it to the attention of those who can make a difference and make something right. Some things will have to be brought to a person's attention before something changes. So we can see that these five sisters definitely stepped up to the plate and made a difference. Now we will look at the judge Deborah and a lady by the name of Jael. Now, in order to get background on what's going on with them, I will read from Judges, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 10, and it reads like this. Then the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor, and the commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. The sons of Israel cried to the Lord, for he had 900 iron chariots, and he oppressed the sons of Israel severely for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the sons of Israel came up to her for judgment. Now she sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinadab, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, behold, the Lord, the God of Israel, has commanded, go and march to Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men from the sons of Naphtali and from the sons of Zebulun. I will draw out to you Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his many troops, to the river Kishon, and I will give him into your hand. Then Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. She said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the honor shall not be yours on the journey that you are about to take, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali together to Kadesh, and 10,000 men went up with him. Deborah also went up with him. Now, we see Deborah holding down many hats, so to speak. She is the wife of a man named Lapidoth. She is judging the children of Israel at this time. She is also a prophetess, and as such, she was receiving words from God. One such word from the Lord was for her to get a man named Barak to get himself and 10,000 men ready for the battle with the Canaanites. The Lord was promising a great victory. At this point, Barak would only go out if Deborah would go. So we see Deborah stepping up to the plate to accompany them, but she tells Barak that he will not get the honor, but that the death of the commander of the Canaanite army, Sisera, would be at the hands of a woman, and we will see that it is the woman, Jael. Now the Israelites were prevailing in the battle against the Canaanites, and the commander, Sisera, fled. So now we will continue the story in Judges, the 4th chapter, verses 17 through 22, and it reads like this. Now Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. But there was peace between, for there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, my master, turn aside to me. Do not be afraid. And he turned aside to her into the tent, and she covered him with a rug. He said to her, please, give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So she opened a bottle of milk and gave him a drink. Then she covered him. He said to her, stand in the doorway of the tent, and it shall be if anyone comes and inquires of you and says, is there anyone here, that you shall say, no. Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and seized a hammer and went secretly to him and drove the peg into his temple, and it went through into the ground, for he was sound asleep and exhausted. So he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, come, and I will show you the man whom you are seeking. And he entered with her, and behold, Sisera was lying dead with the tent peg in his temple. You see, God used Jael to step up to the plate and finish off Sisera because Barak did not want to go into battle unless Deborah came. So what can we glean from this text? First, it is not likely that many of us will be involved with God having orchestrated for us to kill someone, but it might be that God wants us to kill some type of attitude. He may want us to kill some type of talking and gossiping. He may want us to kill some type of action. He may want us to kill some type of thinking. He may want us to kill some type of a bad habit. He may want us to kill some type of bad parenting style. He may want us to kill a relationship. Now, folks, I did say kill a relationship and not a person. Now, the women I have spoken about thus far were very courageous women who were willing to step up to the plate and made a difference. Scripture is filled with many courageous women throughout the Old and New Testament who stepped up to the plate and made a difference. Far too many for me to elaborate on at this time. But as I begin to conclude, I want to say a few words about three women in the New Testament who stepped up to the plate. The first is the woman with the issue of blood, who after having exhausted her funds by going to many doctors and getting no remedy, decided to step up to the plate and touched the hem of the garment that Jesus wore, supposing that by doing so, she would be healed. That move on her part paid off, as Jesus healed her because she had enough faith to believe it would happen. Again, I say, she stepped up to the plate. There will come a time in all of our lives when we would have exhausted all of our so-called resources, and in order to get any help, we will have to come seeking the source, who is God Almighty, who has that which we need. His word lets us know that he is the one who supplies all of our needs. All we have to do is step up to the plate, be willing to stretch out our faith like the woman with the issue of the blood. The last two women I will close out with are the mother and grandmother of Timothy. Eunice and Lois are their names. The verse I am about to read is from the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, who was as a son to him. The verse comes from 2 Timothy, the first chapter and the fifth verse, and it reads like this: "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." Why do I take time to end with this verse? Surely we can see how Lois stepped up to the plate in the life of her daughter Eunice, and how Eunice stepped up to the plate in the life of her son Timothy. The impact they have from one to another in sharing the things of God. Of all the things that we as women and men of God can do, we must stand up to the plate. We must step up to the plate as devout men and women of God and pour the things of God into the lives of the young who are in our charge or sphere of influence. Just like heirlooms, we would pass down from generation to generation. We must pass down heirlooms of the things of God from generation to generation, such as daily prayer time with God, daily reading of his word, assembling regularly with believers at our local places of worship. All throughout the scriptures, God is always summoning the assembling together in face-to-face gatherings. Venues like this radio blog and many other venues via phones and computers are a good thing, but assembling face-to-face is what God would have us to do. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We need one another. We need encouragement from one another. We need the prayers of the saints. We must be a part of a local church that is comprised of a body of believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, meeting together at least once a week. We must step up to the plate and make a difference. I will now close in a short word of prayer. Dear Father God, we come before your precious throne of grace, thanking you that you created male and female, and both you created in your very own image. We thank you for your holy written word that shows the strengths and weaknesses of men and women throughout time. We thank you for those who are on a mission and have or shall step up to the plate that will make a huge and positive difference in the lives of many. We pray, Father God, for all who are lost, all who are backslidden, that as your Holy Spirit tugs at their hearts, they will accept the call to salvation. Then we pray that they and all who are complacent will be united with a local body of born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. This we pray to the one who stepped up to the plate by becoming the sacrificial lamb for all mankind, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now may all of the redeemed say amen. I now turn the program back over to Sister Faith Dean.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Beverly. That was a very powerful word that you spoke on. Does anyone have any comments or questions or anything that you would like to speak on?
I'd like to speak about another mother.
Okay, go ahead, Deacon.
Isaiah 7:14, it was prophesied, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which we know, Emmanuel means God with us. And then in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 31, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. Well, the angel approaches Mary and told him that God had found favor. She had found favor with God. And he said, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And verse 43 says, and hence it is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me. Now, what I'm getting to say is that this is one of the most prophetic mothers in the Bible, because she was the one chosen to bring God's only begotten son, that he may have a body of flesh born of a woman, that he would grow up into a man, walk this earth for 30 years, with 33 years, teach man about the Father if they would accept him. But to the point that I wanted to make was that there are many mothers in the Bible, but to me this is the most prophetic mother of all. And the angel told her what he would be for mankind. But on the cross, she saw him beaten and battered, because she hadn't seen what the Roman soldiers had did to him. And I'm sure she was bewildered and baffled about seeing her only her son, her great son, hanging on that cross, battered, bleeding, flesh cut out. And I'll close with this. I remember as a kid, we would have a speech on Mother's Day, and it said the M stood for the many things that she done for me. O mean only she was always right. T was for the tears that she shed it for me. H was for her heart of gold. E was for eyes that's ever shining. Arif was right, and right she'll always be. That's who I call my mother. And the Bible gives us many aspects of motherhood, because a mother is not only a nurturer, a comforter, but she gives compassion to her children. And the fact that we have to always realize that God would use a human mother to bring his son into this world and has bestowed upon her motherhood is one of the greatest honor that any, I feel, female can have, whatever the circumstances may be, is to be a mother. And I turn it back over to you, Mother, Sister Faith.
Okay. Yeah, and I appreciate you bringing that out, but, you know, they do so many things about Mary, and I do understand, I know what a great example Mary was a mother, but my intention here today really was to go into
I was not condemning what you
okay,
were saying.
Okay, no, but I'm just saying, but my thing today was to pull out others out of Scripture that you don't really hear that much about a lot of times and how they stood up to the plate. But, I mean, I understand where you're coming from about Mary. That's just a given, but I wanted to deal with people that you don't hear that much about all the time and how they did things, how God used them to get things done in their lives also. Amen?
Amen. Amen. That's what I wanted to bring up. Those were stories that I was not aware of. And so you brought them out, and hopefully we can put those scriptures online so that we can go back and read those. But my point is, when you said to kill things in your life, those things are important because God is bringing you closer to God. And if there's some things in your life that need to go, they need to go. In fact, they need to be killed out of your life because they don't need to go where Jesus is taking you. And there was one other point I wanted to speak on. But regardless, this was very powerful, and I am so glad that you brought those up. Those are scriptures that I'm not really aware of. And the way you brought it out just got my attention really good. And I thank you, Sister Beverly, for bringing that out, and especially since it's Mother's Day, and you bringing that out into the Bible. I thank you so much.
Amen. Praise God.
Okay, does anyone else have any more comments or questions?
Okay. The faith, yeah. I just like to say, you said that, well, you said you wasn't aware of those scriptures. I think a lot of people are not aware because they don't really take time to study the Old Testament. And we have to learn to study the complete Bible and spend some time in certain chapters and read it over and over and over to get what
That's
God has had in store and what has he have in store for the future and how
That's
he used, how he used certain people in the Bible, as Sister said, to step up to, as they say, to the plate. Because sometimes when one fails, God has always had somebody, I'll say, in the corridor that he can call and choose to do his work.
Exactly. And Sister Beverly, you did that today through this radio blog. And I'm going to step up to the plate and get those scriptures, and I'm going to read them. Because I don't want to be part of the Bible. I want to be aware of all of it. And so God does bring people here to share his word, and that was a message for me, and I thank you for that.
Amen.
So
praise God.
We'll get a message to you so that I could get them scriptures and put them down with the radio blog for today. And with that, Deacon Chapman, would you like to close in prayer?
So Father God, at the close of this program, Father, and the message and the well-spoken word that we had today, Father, hoping that there will be strength found in these things that was said, because God, you are our strength. By your spirit, we shall prevail. In our weakness, you are still stronger than men. And Father God, we thank you, Father, that these words that were spoken today about women that are not really spoken of normally, and we thank you for the sister bringing this to the attention. Bless this radio station, Father. Bless every hearer. And I pray, Father, that they will learn to get into the Word, spend some time in your Word, Father, and see what you had to say to us, because the Bible was not written to us, but it was written for us to study. And I thank you, Father. Bless Sister Faith, Father, continuously, and all her staff. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Beverly, once again. And with that, you guys have a good evening, and God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Amen. God bless.
Amen.